Hello, and welcome to another episode of Made of Power Deck 2, a podcast where we talk about everything that goes on with Power Rangers, including board game news, a ton of comic books, and maybe some reflections on a previous season. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and with me, as always, is...
I think you'll find the lime is just as good. It's Kevin.
Good. I love it.
I could have went with the obvious one, but then I was like, no, I'll do that.
No, that was perfect. But, you know, we've taken a couple weeks off, and as we were talking about before, for a brand that is, air quotes, dead, there is a ton of stuff to talk about between a lot of things happening in the last few weeks since we've been away.
Yeah, she looks pretty good for a dead bitch.
Exactly. Thank you, Morgan McMichaels. before we get started into all that, we want to take a moment, like we do every time, to encourage our listeners to find a way that you can be a hero out in the world. You know, we've highlighted things in the past like Black Lives Matter, which is still ongoing and still requires support, to, you know, fighting against the constant attacks against trans and human rights here in the U.S., or, you know, really the current crisis that's going on in Gaza. Find a way that you can help, be a hero in your own way, whether that's, you know, joining in protests safely where you can, donating money to organizations that are helping out in those efforts, or even just beginning the steps to educate yourself so you can figure out how to help. Find a way that you can be a hero. Let's try to make this world a better place. With that said, we will dive into our first topic, which is Renegade Con March 2024 was their 10-year anniversary stream, and on it they had not a dedicated Power Ranger one, but one dedicated to their like action adventure games and all their kind of different licensed ones through Hasbro. I mean, within that, we got a couple Power Ranger reveals. The first of which is for the role-playing game, a new source book, Beneath the Helmet, which will focus on life outside of being a ranger, introducing human-based threats and ideas, and also introduces the Dark Ranger role, along with the Aqua and Graphite as well, is what they said. And for the deck-building game, they revealed its Morphin Time expansion, which will introduce Matt Cook and the second generation of the MMPR Rangers, the Stone Canyon Trio, and Cat, along with the villains, the Evil Green Ranger, Master Vile, King Sphinx, Psycho Green, and Silverback. It will include cards that have like Lokar, the 1960s Rangers, and new Ranger tech, and also include the Shogun Zords, Ninja Zords, and Thunder Zords. There is, I think, quite a bit for you here, Kevin.
Yeah.
What did you think of these announcements?
I mean, I thought it was a good reveal, and it makes sense. Like, Mighty Morphin drives the brand, and like this feels like a celebration of like, this kind of feels like the cap on the Mighty Morphin portion of the game. Like, there's still more they can do, but like, we've already gotten like Draken, Ranger Slayer. Like, this kind of like caps off the majority of the comic book stuff that sticks to Mighty Morphin. Like, we could still get Solar Rangers later on, we could still get other things, but like, this is kind of like I feel like the send off for Mighty Morphin. I think I really like that they were like, you know what, we're going to get everything out there and just kind of focus on that. So it is fun to see how we get the Shogun, Ninja, and Thunder Zords all in one box, how we get like the Mighty Morphin versions of the Rangers we got in the Zeo expansions. I mean, Aisha gets her flowers. Matt gets his flowers. Like, these are all really good characters that are used. I think it's also fun seeing King Sphinx get a MasterCard, just because like, those of us that grew up in Mighty Morphin remember, like, the early days when, like, they advertised King Sphinx as if he was one of, like, the core villains.
Yeah, he was in everything. He was in all of the merchandise, and it's so funny. It is, he is just a random Z-Ranger villain.
Yeah, but... so it's... I think it's fun to see that. I think it's also fun to see Silverback get in this as well. Because, you know, it's a good mix of villains. Yeah, I think it's a good expansion. I'm excited to play it. I'm excited to see how each of these Rangers differ. I think for Rocky, Adam, and Aisha, it'll be interesting to see, like, Rocky, Adam, and Kat. For Rocky, Adam, and Kat, I'm interested to see how they, if they play similarly to their Zeo counterparts with, like, a slight twist, or if something else happens. I think that would be interesting. I kind of hope we get, like, the Catastrophe monster in the box, too, just because, like, the fun that could be had with that, like, having, like, if there's an effect that, you know, if, like, this monster faces Mighty Morphin Pink, like... you know.
She can do something, yeah. Or like, counteracts whatever Kat does. That'd be really fun.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how they go with this route. I'm assuming we'll get a lot of Season 3 and Season 2 monsters in this box as well. So I would not be surprised if we see Lip Syncer, if we see
Silverhorns. I was literally thinking of her.
Yeah, like, I think, like, the major Season 2 and 3 monsters, like Lip Syncer, Silverhorns, you know, maybe Artista Mole, maybe Krabby Cabby, we'll see. We'll see what happens, so. But what do you think?
It's really cool. Also, the Dan Mora art for that cover, oh, that man can't miss. So good. So good. Yeah, I'm excited with it. I also really like the fact that I don't know if it comes in the core box or if it's in the promo pack, but mm-hmm. they have the cards for your, if you have the deck building box that Renegade sells, it will come with the dividers for this one. In the deck building one, they're all tied to whatever expansion it is. So they're mm-hmm. including that in that. So really cool to kind of as a way to tie that in and to help that. So I really thought that was cool. I'm excited. I've not played the deck building game in a hot minute, and I have a ton of expansions I haven't played. Like, I've not played SPD. I've not played RPM. Yeah. So I want this, but I'm also just like, man, I do need to actually play this game. I'm really intrigued by the source book too a lot. I did not think that was the direction they were going to go. But it is a thing that I think is kind of lacking in the other source books. You know, there's not mm-hmm. a ton for the human base life. It's really all kind of Power Ranger focused. So it is really cool that they are now going, okay, well, here's how you can flesh out your character's human life as a ranger or civilian life.
Yeah, which I think a lot of DMs were doing anyway. Like, a lot of DMs were focusing on, both elements. And it makes sense, because you can't have just the ranger portion of it. I think when you have, because that's not what Power Rangers is. Power Rangers is about the humans underneath the helmets. I think they definitely did that.
For sure. And I'm really intrigued by how the Dark Ranger role will work along with Aqua and Graphite, but really that Dark Ranger one, because I'm like, that's an interesting character to play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they go about that.
And just what effects they'll have, and just Aqua often gets lumped into blue. So how does it differ from the Blue Ranger? Is it going to be more an offensive character versus a tech character mm-hmm. kind of thing? Or Graphite, what's going to be the difference between that and Silver? I'm really curious how they'll kind of differentiate those. And we know, I believe Energems are going to be part of this, obviously, since they're bringing in these roles. The big, mm-hmm. It seems like it's pulling a lot from Dino Thunder, but they did say it was Dino Thunder, Dino Charge, and I can't remember the third one they said, but there was kind of a trio that they were going to be pulling from in this book kind of their source for things. So we'll probably see a lot of Dino Thunder monsters and a lot of Dino Charge monsters in this as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see. I will say, before we jump off Renegade Con, I was a little disappointed that we didn't get any kind of tease for Heroes of the Grid. And it felt like they knew that they didn't, because they were really trying to move on past it.
Yeah.
But to be fair, they didn't have anything for the Guardian system for the G.I. Joe one either for Mission Critical. Yeah. So it's kind of, I think they're maybe holding off until the What's Coming Out has come out, because we still haven't gotten the RPM one and the... the other box is the armor pack.
I mean, that's the thing, though. We do have things that are coming out, and they've already revealed quite a bit for those, so it makes sense why they're kind of being a little bit quiet. I think too, the Guardian system is an important element of Renegade's Hasbro IP verse, but the role-playing game and the deck building games, I think those have been actually increasing in popularity a lot more, so I think that's probably also why. The deck building game is I think I like the deck building game a lot, because introducing someone to Heroes of the Grid and getting them to play it, if they haven't already played it before, is hard.
It's a long game. It's a long game.
Yeah. It's one of those games where you have to be ready and prepared, and it's tough. Mm-hmm. I think Joel, whenever you come visit me or I visit you, whichever is going to happen, because we talked about doing that soon, but we'll know we can play Heroes of the Grid immediately because we know how to play it. But then whenever I think about oh, I'm going to teach my friend, because I've been doing a board game night off and on recently, And, like, I want to bring Heroes of the Grid and play it, but, like, I'm also like, ah, but it's Heroes of the Grid. Like, it's very hard to set up. It's very hard to, like, teach. So, yeah. It makes sense that, you know, they're focusing a bit more on Deck Builder, because Deck Builder is actually, it's still a long game to teach, but it's still easier to teach, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's also a game forever to set up if you're not 100% sure what you're going to play with. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm really excited by this. Again, like, it's awesome that we're still getting game content for these and they're really expanding them. You know, who would have thought, you know, a couple years ago we would have 4 source books for a Power Rangers RPG game?
Yeah.
Not to mention the various, like, activity books they have. It did just, like, the deck building game, we're, like, what, 6 or 7 expansions deep at this point?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
So, like, crazy. It's so cool. I'm really excited. I'm glad Renegade Con is still trucking these out, because I think they're really great.
Yeah, agreed.
With that said, we'll move on to our next topic, which is Legacy Wars. We got a new ranger introduced. Dana Mitchell, Lightspeed Pink, was added to the game as an epic rarity defender class. Mm-hmm. And her moveset is interesting because it's kind of her, like, she's more focused on, like, the weapons, which seems to be a thing they've been doing with, like, the newer characters they've been introducing, is like, hey, here's your weapon. You're going to really focus in on that. And so she's using, like, their little rescue guns that they have. And yeah. That's kind of her primary weapon, is she tends to, like, fight from afar and fire off her weapon. But mm-hmm. What did you think of her, Kevin, if you saw her trailer or anything?
I mean, I saw the clips of it. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, Dana is a good, solid choice all around. And yeah, her fighting from a distance also makes sense, so it's a good time.
Yeah, and I do think it's funny that we now have both Mitchell siblings in the game, because we both have the Titanium Ranger and Pink. And this technically makes our 3rd Lightspeed Rescue Ranger, which is kind of awesome as well. It's like, okay, wow, we've got a lot of Lightspeed representation now. Between Carter, Ryan, Dana, and her name, I want to... Vipra. I was gonna say the Viparia, and I was like, no, the Viparia is not in the game.
that's a new mode that'll be introduced later.
Yes, the Viparia mode. God help us. Yeah. We need a Power Rangers Mario Kart, and the Viparia can be one of the cars you drive.
Yeah.
It's like all the ATVs from the various Disney seasons, and then the Viparia.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it's cool we're still getting rangers for this. I was scrolling through to get to find Dana so I could get her information, and I was scrolling through all the rangers, and I was like, wow, this menu takes a long time to scroll through now.
It does.
Oh, God, so funny, but so awesome. But with that, we will move out of those topics and into the comic book world, because boy howdy, comics were coming out these last few weeks, and we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about one of them, because I don't know your reaction to it yet, but we will start off with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 117, written by Melissa Flores, colored by Raul Angulo, illustrated by Simona Gianfelice with Marco Rena, colored by Raul Angulo with assistance by Jose Enrique Fernandez, and lettered by Ed Dukeshire with cover by Torrin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Things are getting desperate on Earth as Mistress Vile attacks, with rangers from different universes and civilians alike teaming up to keep the carnage at bay. But some special objects may be the key to helping keep the planet safe, even if it won't last for long. As Billy and the Hyperforce Rangers rush to repair the Master Arch, they're only able to pull a single ally from the heart of the Morphin Grid as Dark Specter's power grows.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked this issue. This was a lot of fun, like, just character moments
throughout,
which is like, I mean, that's been like kind of this whole event, really. It's just like, hey, throw these people together and let's see what the characters do. But this was just chock full of them. I love Taylor having to train a new group of idiots, which seems to be her fate in life.
Yeah.
Taylor never gets a group of people who are actually good at their jobs. It's Taylor is the best, and then everyone else has to be trained by her. And she's just like, great. This is what I got to deal with. But also we get, like it says, like, we see the Hyperforce Rangers going around to different areas. There's some wonderful interactions in all that. And then we get really the big kind of thrust of this issue as we see Mistress Vile is kind of beginning to see that this deal with Dark Specter is not the greatest for her.
Yeah, I mean, he's outwardly just, like, telling her. Like, and it's kind of what we talked about a few weeks ago. Like, it's so interesting seeing, like, how Dark Specter and Rita differ in their ideologies, which also, of course, does come from Rita's background and, like, where where she comes from as, you know, being the daughter of Lady Fiona. Yeah, I mean, we kind of called it. Spoilers if you haven't read the issue yet. I mean, I think we kind of called that, like, Tommy being the one to kind of help her, like, realize, hey, you're not really in control is a really good moment. And, like, it's interesting because, like, those two have always been tied together for so long. But once Tommy became White Ranger, we really didn't get to see much more of that. Like, we got a little bit of it here and there. But, like, after that point, like, because Rita and Tommy are always going to be interconnected. Yeah. Just like how Rita and Matt are going to now be interconnected. But yeah, I think it's a good twist, and I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, how Mistress Vile, like, how she will kind of help usurp everything.
Yeah, for sure. Because, like, I mean, like, what I really like about it is, like, Mistress Vile thinks she's more cunning than she actually is. And, like, the way this girl gets revealed to her is Dark Specter destroys Alpha 5, or Alpha 1, or Alpha Z, as he was called before he was unceremoniously gotten rid of. And it's like, and Mistress Vile, in that moment, it's just like, oh, no. And it, like, kind of finally, I think, hits her that, like, I don't get out of this. There's no good end for me here. There's no way I come out on top of this. I'm always going to be pushed to the bottom or killed. So I really dug that kind of moment, especially at the end. You know, it's really funny because, like, the white powers are becoming increasingly more important.
Yeah.
You know, between, you know, Tommy and Mistress Vile linking up and, you know, spoilers, the reveal that the Billy and Phantom Ranger pull, you know, Ranger Slayer Kimberly out of the grid.
Yeah.
You know, wielding the white coin. It's just really cool. But again, like, the thing I love about this event, again, it worked in Shattered Grid and it works for me here. It's just when they mix Power Rangers up. Because we get to see a lot with the Hyper Force Rangers. We get to see like Vesper and Eddie, a Dino Thunder. You know, Jack is, you know, on Terra Venture with the Lost Galaxy team.
Yeah.
It's so good. And
yeah.
I really like it. It's just so fun to get to see them. And also, I love those teams. I love Chloe and Marv going to RPM World and Boom nearly blowing them up. Or Jim nearly blowing them up. And they're like, hey, it's us. He's like, oh, sorry, guys.
Yeah. Fun little callbacks for Hyperforce fans, for sure.
Yeah.
But also, too... Yeah, and also I do appreciate that we finally get the reveal of what the Power Eggs are. Like, they kind of take that piece of lore and actually establish it, because it's essentially, like, a piece of the grid.
Yeah. Which is like, makes why they're important. Like, it's like, okay, this makes sense. You know, I'm glad it wasn't just like, this is the Ultra Light Zord, so now it can, like, destroy Dark Specter. And it's like, no, this is just, like, they realized there was going to be a problem. They needed to kind of shelter this away. Putting it in an egg made the most sense. I don't know why, but it did, I guess.
Yeah, it's a fun example of how the comics takes the already established canon
and
plays with it, yeah, and, like, expands on it. Like, I, despite people and how they feel about it, you know, whether you say it's non-canon or canon, whatever it might be, you know, Elseworld, whatever, it's fun kind of getting the answer of, like, yeah, this is what it actually is. Like, it maybe wasn't what it was intended to be at the time, but this is now what it is.
So good. And I'm really glad Melissa's kind of getting this to play with whatever. And and I'm glad it's her doing it, because, you know, she has such a familiarity with the brand, but also such a love for it that's clear.
Yeah.
And I really love getting to see her just play with all this. I think she's doing such a stupendous job.
Agreed.
I can't wait to see what happens, you know, how, like, Mistress Vile gets out of this, how the Rangers kind of get out of it, because we're, you know, increasingly, you know, Dark Specter is getting further and further, you know, gaining more power. He gets the Psycho Rangers in this issue, which I think is hilarious. You know, we see in the Dino Thunder thing that he has the A-Squad team and B-Squad SPD teams on his side. It's really, I'm really kind of excited to see where this goes, kind of what happens and how everything shakes out afterwards.
Yeah,
because there's like a chance we could, in theory, like the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger book not end with the Mighty Morphin team, but like it could explode into another team. You know, we could have the Hyper Force Rangers take center stage, something, or you know, other things could shake out of this that could be really cool and exciting to see.
Yeah.
But any last thoughts on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers before we move on?
No, you know, it's so interesting watching this arc fold out, because it's fun seeing kind of like how they're playing with all the chess pieces and moving them around. And I think now that Mistress Vile is kind of like coming off of her chains, it's going to be interesting to see what happens next.
Yeah, and don't forget, she is wielding the Zeo crystal in her staff right now, so I am so curious what they'll do with that, if she won't like somehow create like her own kind of Zeo Rangers, which would be fun to do as like an interesting
She could, but
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Either way, like how they, I mean, we said this before, like whenever, what?
What if we get like a Draken combination of the Zeo 5 with the White Ranger powers?
I mean, we could, or yeah, because she doesn't have the King Crystal, so we can't get King Tyrannosaurus, but no, I mean, we talked about this before, like the comics were kind of like in that Necessary Evil era trying to play within the confines of like the TV canon, but now that everything's been unboxed and everything has been like kind of moved around, like it'll be interesting to see moving forward what, like you said, what we'll see next. So
for sure. But with that, we'll move on to the next comic that we get to talk about, which is Ranger Academy number 5, which is written by Maria Ingrande Mora, illustrated by Jo Myung Gung, colored by Joanna Lafuente, lettered by Ed Dukeshire, with a cover by Miguel Mercado. Sage finally gets what she wants and successfully morphs, but the results are unexpected, and she harbors a taboo secret from her friends and the rest of the academy. Meanwhile, Sage is feeling low with Parent Weekend approaching, and in a sparring session with Tula, makes a shocking confession that Tula never saw coming.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this is the issue that where this series finally hit. This is where it kind of finally worked for me, weirdly.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair.
It's, you know, we've got the characters established, we've gotten kind of where they're going, what they're doing, and now there's like some interesting character stuff going on with Sage kind of trying to hide the fact that she's morphed and that, you know, she's got a friend that now wants to leave the academy, and she's like, no, don't leave, you have to stay, and she's like, well, what happens when I get to do this morph again and it happens again, how will I cover this? And it's very fun because like I love a character who's a mental mess like me. And Sage definitely is. Sage is constantly stressed out, and I'm like, girl, same. I get it. I really like it. I am curious where this is going. Because the big question, I mean, spoilers if you've not read the issue, or last issue even. I mean, it's not like they're hiding it. They put it on covers and variants. Sage is morphed into a Green Ranger. And for some reason, the Green Academy is abandoned, and it's closed off, and people don't go there. And it's like, well, why? Like,
yeah,
obviously this is going to tie into Mighty Morphin. There's going to be something about it either being evil or other things. But it's like, we've definitely had other Green Rangers who are not like that. So like, that doesn't always work fully with canon.
The only thing I could think of would be maybe like there were Green Rangers and then they got corrupted somehow. And then like, that was the whole thing. Like, maybe there's something there. I would be interested to see if like we get a surprise tie in to Darkest Hour somehow, but this also still feels like it's trying to be its own thing.
And that feels increasingly unlikely that we're not going to get tied into Darkest Hour.
For sure. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think that like we're going to get some reveal. It would be interesting if they kind of like tried to reveal that like green and black are like interchangeably, like that the green power like kind of outpowers black, and then like, you know, I don't know. It would be fun if they did something kind of like with Super Megaforce and like acknowledge like, oh, green is like a not as stable color in the grid, and like, you know, they do something with that. I don't know. It has that issue like you mentioned of it being explicitly tied to Mighty Morphin, where green was the evil ranger. But it'll be interesting to see how they like resolve that and how they like basically say that.
Yeah, and I do like kind of like the teases we're getting of other characters. Like there's the stuff with Tula and I'm blanking on the one character's, you know, name, but they have the argument in front of Sage, and Sage thinks she understands what they're saying, but it's like, no, there's probably some aspects she doesn't know about. So I'm really fascinated to kind of dig into those characters more. I'm also curious if we're ever going to find out if like all of them look the same when they morph, or if some people morph differently, like if your ranger suit looks different. I'm curious if they'll ever actually explain how your ranger suit gets designed, because I'd be curious about that. Do the academy have like specific ones because of like the spectrite that they're using, kind of thing? I'd be really fascinated to find out. But I do think this is the one, like, now that we're past that initial arc of setting everything up, this feels really interesting, and I am excited to keep reading this and see where this goes, and what they do with it. Because, you know, like, I'm curious, you know, once Sage of Secrets out, what happens? You know, where do we go from here? You know, how does that change her relationships with some of the characters we've now established? I'd be really excited to see. I want more characters from the other schools, because we've not really, we've gotten, like, a Black Ranger morph, a yellow, and then red, but we've not seen, like, a pink or blue yet, so I'm like, I want to know what those kids are like, you know? Give me a little snobby Pink Ranger, I'm ready for it.
I think it's gonna make an interesting like dynamic, because now that Sage has her secret, like we know that it's gonna get revealed to the others, and we know we're gonna probably have like the "you betrayed me, you lied to me," and like it'll be interesting to see, like it'll follow some of those like young adult tropes,
yeah,
but at the same time, yes, like it'll be interesting to see how they take it and they run with it themselves.
Yeah, we're fully in like CW TV show territory, where it's like a character just doesn't talk, and it's like, well, if you just said the thing, we'd be done with it and you could deal with it, but no, you refuse to do so, so now we got to be here for a hot minute.
Yeah,
I am curious. And I mean, you know, with Tula seeming like such a character that has such like kind of a mysteriousness to her, I'm curious how she'll react, or if she'll tell Tula or Sage to tell people that she's a Green Ranger, or be like, use that for herself and her own kind of efforts. I'm really curious how that'll all shake out. Also, love Jo Mi-kyung's art. Really so good. And they've been posting a lot of Power Ranger fan art on their Twitter. Mm-hmm. They've not been tagging it as such, but it has been like, they drew Yale, and they drew like a couple other Rangers, and it's like weirdly kind of like moody little art, and I love their art style, so I'm so happy they're getting to do this series.
Yeah, for sure. And I do think it's going to be interesting seeing what this next part of the arc is going to be, especially with the family weekend. Because they're definitely building it up. They're definitely building up something. Because they mention, like, there are some... sorry, words are hard. There are some Rangers that are, like...
Students.
Some students that have, like, popular... Like, we have Nepo Rangers.
Yes. Nepo Rangers exist at the Ranger Academy, yes.
Yeah. And so I'm curious to see who those children are.
Yeah, because I don't feel like you drop that line and then don't do anything with it. Yeah, someone's related to a Ranger we know, and I'm curious what they'll pull.
Yeah, because we don't know the time frame of this, too. It could be literally anybody.
It'd be funny if they brought in JJ.
I don't think it would be JJ, necessarily. I don't think they're going to mess with, like... I think it's going to be, like, a distant relative. I think it would be kind of hilarious if we got, like, a distant Oliver kid that's, like... My dad is my great great granddad was Tommy Oliver, and then like,
yeah.
But you also have to be careful of those things though, because people are going to like get in their feelings about it either way. Like,
oh yeah, I know. I was thinking like, what if it's like Nick and Madison's kid or something from like Mystic Four?
Yeah, it could be anything. Like, I think that's what makes this series a little bit fun, is that you never know what could happen. Like, we got like the reveal about like the little teleporter crystals that like let you talk to a Ranger, and like the grid connects you.
Yeah.
So, and the reveal that, you know, when Sage used it, she saw her dad.
Yeah, so. And also, I mean, there's just, like, there's different things they could do. It's all timey-wimey and weird, so I'm also curious what's going on with her dad, and I want to find out what color Ranger her dad is, because, like, come on, we're going to see that dad morph at some point, I bet. Yeah.
I'm guessing her dad was the last Green Ranger that got, like... That got gifted, and then something happened, and he went into exile.
Yeah, but that I'm really excited. We'll get to see what kind of comes from this series. I saw someone in one of like a Twitter thread somewhere be like, "Well, this is terrible. This is awful." And I'm like, "Look, if it's not for you, it's not for you. Don't call it awful, because I don't think it is. I think it's fun. It's just different than everything else we have, which isn't a bad thing."
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with this existing, but with that, we will move on to the last comic that we have to talk about, which is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, The Return Number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Amy Jo Johnson and Matt Hodson, illustrated by Nico Leon, colored by Dono Sanchez Almara, lettered by Ed Dukeshire, with the main cover by Goni Montes.
Mm-hmm.
Kimberly reflects on a shocking choice she had to make all those years ago when telling the story of the Rangers' final hour against Rita and Zed. But did they make it out in time, and what ramifications did their final battle have for Earth in the present, including for Trini's mysterious niece, Selena? Kevin, I want to know your thoughts first before I say mine. What did you think of this issue, and what are your feelings on the return so far?
No, if I had a dime for every time I saw Rita Repulsa stabbed through the back twice by a returning ranger, I'd have 2 dimes, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice. Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, spoilers, by the way.
So, okay, let's dive into it. So, this issue gives us a lot of context. So, we know now what happened, we knew before this issue that, like, something happened. Rita and Zed destroyed the command center. They, you know, they teamed up, they got married, like, they got married a little bit earlier than the normal timeline, like, they're in love now. We got all this. So, we then see the Rangers retaliate. We see why Kimberly went into exile. And so we find out that the Rangers had this original plan. And so it's interesting to see what the original plan was. Cause, you know, at first we thought, oh, they went and like, they just went ham and like went crazy, but they actually weren't intending on killing anybody. They were just intending on purifying everyone. Like they were trying to follow Zordon's example, which I thought was interesting. I thought that was actually a really neat way to show like their naivete as kids and like what they did.
Yes.
And then as we find out, when Tommy and Kim think about, like, because they have to put it in, like, the darkest place, I thought it was really funny that they chose Rita and Zed's bedroom. And I was like, okay, that makes sense, like, because, you know, pure evil, where they sleep, like, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, so then we find out that Kim stabbed Rita through the heart to save Tommy, and then Tommy sacrifices himself, blah, blah, blah. I think this issue... This issue kind of hooked me on the series, honestly. Like, I think this issue definitely is setting up some fun stuff. And I'm curious to see where Amy and Matt take it next, honestly. Like, I don't know. I actually liked it. I thought it was an interesting idea. And, you know, It's going to be interesting to see what happens next. But before we do the big reveal, what did you think?
I'm sorry. I still don't care for this. I think this feels like this is for people who have not been steeped in Power Rangers for 20 plus years.
Well, yeah.
This feels like for Power Ranger fans, and I say this because I don't believe Amy Jo Johnson knows anything past season one. She's like, who? Master Vile? What? Never heard of him. Thunder Swords? Nah, that can't be real. That didn't happen. I didn't film that. She knows.
That's fair.
Very high level. She's never heard of a White Ranger. She don't know an Aisha, an Adam, or a Rocky. She's never heard those names. They don't exist.
That's fair.
This feels very like... And this is not a bad thing. You know, it feels like it's for people who are coming back to Power Rangers who are like, I want edgy and dark...
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to have to go through all the Power Ranger stuff. I just want what I know. And it feels like you could hand this to a fan and it would be something cool.
Yeah.
For me, there's just not a lot here. Because we've done this. We've done this before.
That's fair.
We've had the villains going to a bigger thing and the Rangers having to do something bad. I will say, Nico Leon's art, fucking incredible.
Yes.
Like, so good. Like, one of the highlights of this whole series is just getting to see Nico Leon draw Power Rangers. And there is a detail in the background of the opening assault on Rita and Zed's, like, palace that I didn't catch the first time that I had to see whenever they posted art and were like, yeah, because if you look at the palace, they've expanded the palace.
Yeah.
The palace is now huge and it has, like, a whole, like, manufacturing arm now so it can just constantly be churning out monsters from Finster.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a detail I didn't notice because I was, like, reading through this issue really quick. I will say, I did love that in the assault on Rita and Zed's palace, Matt and Amy still wrote it like the TV show. So they're like, go, go Power Rangers, as they're like crushing waves of enemies. Like, I loved that.
Yeah.
The big thing is like the twist of this issue and the way the issue ends. It's like, boy, could not have seen this coming. Boy, we're doing the parallels of certain characters on either side. Wow. How new and refreshing. It's like. I know Ranger Command did their review and kind of said a similar thing to what I'm saying, so I went in primed knowing that this was kind of how this issue was going to go, and Matt Hodson responded to them and said, oh, we've got plenty of twists coming. And I want to say to that, I hope so, because this feels... It just feels like we've done this.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of my problem.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel fresh enough. It does not feel... We've just had sad Kimberly for 2 issues, and I need something else. I need to know what if they can stick some kind of emotional journey on this that is interesting, of learning to get over regret, learning to get through trauma, learning to grow past it, I'm cool with this. If we never get to that and it's just them doing kind of ham canned bits, I'm going to be like, dude, why?
That's fair.
I could have gotten anything else in that place, but yeah. Yeah.
I think we will end up, I think that's the route it's going to go, but I think the art also really helped me enjoy it a lot more. And I really enjoyed, so spoiler warning for those of you that haven't read it yet. I actually did enjoy the twist that Celine was actually Rita and Zed's kid. Because at first I was thinking, like, going into it, I was like, okay, we're going to go kind of like, you know, we're going to get a retread of Men and Once and Always. And then, like, once they got the scene of, like, Rita going back to the bedroom, like, I was like, okay, they have a kid. Like,
well, there's the line, I'm going to go check on. And it was, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
know what we're doing now.
Yeah,
and it was in that moment.
yeah, and so it's going to be interesting because we now see like Rita and Zed had a daughter who now is coming back to get revenge, and it is kind of like an inverse of like the Green Ranger arc because now we're going to obviously have Olivia, the new Green Ranger, fight Rita to save her mom. I think it's going to be interesting to see like what we see with Kimberly's arc and journey overall. And I don't know. I think it's going to end. I think it'll end on a good note. I think it'll be fine. But I'm enjoying it so far. Like the first issue, I was kind of like, yeah, okay, I can see it. But like this issue, now that we know more of the backstory, I think it's gonna be interesting to see like Kimberly's reaction to real, because she didn't know they had a child at that point. Like she didn't realize. So it'll be interesting to see as well. Because I do wonder, because, like, they mentioned, like, that it was supposed to obliterate anything evil or purify it. So then my question is, like, did the child get purified and did they just naturally become evil because of the circumstances? Like, I think that's what I'm interested in seeing, is, like, with Rita and Zed's daughter, like, what does that mean? What does it look like? And go from there. Also, I just love the panel that Nico drew whenever Kimberly tries to morph and, like, the daughter knocks her out. Like, I thought that was, I actually laughed at that panel. I was like, oh, like seeing like the Mighty Morphin panel get interrupted.
Like, she's knocked out. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was really well done. I was like, cause we've seen that panel so many times in so many ways, but to see like the villain actually in the panel and knocking them out, like I was like, okay, okay.
And it does the thing that fans always complain about. Is like, well, why don't you attack while they morph? Yada, yada, yada. It's like, we know. It's just like, it was funny. Like, I think it does work. Again, we're now past the setup. These next three issues, I'm going to go in as like open-minded as I can. I need to see where this is going. Because these first two, it's just like, man, we did this. We've done this.
That's fair.
I'm gonna say this as a thing. I am really hoping we don't continue the trend of constantly murdering Trini and Tommy in different things. Because we don't want to, air quotes, write them anymore.
I agree.
I'm gonna say this right now. No more, guys. Unless it is like absolutely plot critical that you do that, I don't want to see that in anything going forward. Because I don't. I'm gonna use this to do like a little mini rant. Because there was a video getting passed around of like the original five actors getting interviewed, and in it, Tui Trang is talking about how excited she is that there are female heroes, and that, you know, the pink and yellow Rangers are like just as important as the guys. And it's like, man, it really sucks that her legacy now after she passed away is that everyone wants to kill her character rather than letting that character live.
Yeah.
And be the example that she wanted in this world.
Yeah.
So that's my mini rant on that.
No, that's
really
fair.
I just really want that to get nipped in the bud. And like, I understand honoring Tui, but I think she would want that character to live and have like staying power, you know, like, yeah. I bet if she saw Omega Red Ranger Trini, she would fucking lose her mind. Like, she'd be so excited.
Yeah,
it'd be so cool to her.
I agree.
But anyhow, that's again my misgivings about this. It doesn't mean I don't think anyone should like it. It just does not work for me, and that's my own issues.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the Nico Leon art is so good, and like, if nothing else, read it for that. It's really cool. It's really well done. I just like, I need these next three issues to do something cool for me, or you know, I'm gonna be honest and be like, this could have been another thing. We could have done anything else.
Yeah.
If the reason why Selena is collecting the power coins is to open a portal to go to the past to change the past, I'm gonna lose my mind. Because that is Once and Always, and I will lose my mind.
You know what? It's okay.
I will lose my mind, Kevin, if that's what happens. I swear, if that's what, like, that's the reason why she's doing this, I'm gonna get so mad.
But wait, that's a new and totally different evil plan, because they're using the power coins and not Power Rangers crap.
It's legally distinct. It's legally distinct. In the words of bajillionaire.
Oh my gosh. You shady bitch.
The other question we gotta ask is, like, who raised Selena then? Who has she been raised by?
Probably Rito or Master Vile.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be them. I don't think I fully believe
either.
Rito Johnson is like, anything that doesn't exist past season one, she don't know about, other than Lord Zedd.
Yeah. No, I think she does know about it. I think she's I am sure that she talked with, like, David while they were working on it, and David probably did suggest, like, hey, Rita had a dad. We thought that, like, I could see David, like, suggesting that to her, but if David also remembered, but no, I mean, like, I don't know. Because here's the thing, they kind of explain, like, oh, it's like an obliterator, like, it turns bad things good. So it could be possible that, like, you know, Zedd raised her, and then, like, the good Zedd, once he realized what they did, like, maybe that... I think it's going to kind of have, like... I think they're going to try and, like, have that discussion of, like, are you inherently evil, or do your circumstances make you evil?
I'm betting... I just realized, I bet the purifier thing doesn't work the way they anticipated, and it only, like, half does it. And so she's raised by someone who is mentally unstable because they're constantly oscillating between good and evil.
Yeah.
That's probably what they'll do.
Yeah,
we'll have, like, Lord Zedd in the corner freaking out constantly because he's both good and evil in one body, and it's gonna be a whole thing. I bet that.
Yeah.
It's something to that effect.
The other alternative I could see is that, like, Squat somehow survived, and, like, he raised Selene.
Or I could see Finster.
Yeah.
Because, like, who would raise her to become this is Finster, because Finster loves Rita.
Yeah.
Would be like, oh no, you need to be great like your mother. They killed her, blah, 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 blah. But we'll see. I'm sure there's some other twists we don't know about, but I would not get your hopes up on seeing Rita or Master Vile. I did have the moment, I'm going to reveal one of my, like, moments where I had, like, a fandom where I was like, well, actually, because at the beginning they're in the Dinozords, and I was like, if Lord Zedd is here, they should be the Thunderzords, but I'm going to, I know the answer to this question is, this is an alternate universe, they never got the Thunderzords. There we go.
I mean, solve
that problem.
Yeah. They Zordon and Alpha probably... I mean, it could also be that, like, Rita somehow managed to, like... Like, you get, like, that tiny arc in the... whenever he returns, and, like, Rita somehow, like,
got...
Or that Rita somehow knew that Zedd was coming and had, like, a contingency plan. Like, we don't know. We don't know. And, like, the thing is, like, this is... an alternate universe, other things have happened, and I think people need to understand and realize that, like, you're not going to get answers for every little thing in this alternate universe.
Yeah, it's just, my thing on that is, like, you do kind of have to explain what the world is, because that does set things up, like...
Well, yeah. but I think to expect the Thunderzords, like, and have, like, a panel explaining why they don't have Thunderzords, I think that... This is like the same time when, like, remember we had, like, the Justice League Power Rangers and they still use the Dinozords.
Yeah, I know. But it's just a mini nitpick, I'm just saying. Like, these are things, unfortunately, you have to think about when you're doing this kind of stuff. Like, fans are gonna say things and you gotta be prepared to answer it other than, like, being like, I don't know.
Shrug. Yeah.
That's kind of my thing. Other than that, like, it's just, it hasn't hit for me. I'm really glad it hit for you, Kevin. We'll see, you know, we got three more issues. It's got a chance to pull me in, but if it doesn't, it doesn't, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, we'll move on to Power Rangers RPN Episode 2, Fade to Black.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Eddie Gazillion and directed by Mike Smith. Ziggy and Dylan make it inside, but so do some of Vinjek's forces. Now the RPM Rangers have to deal with the attacking forces. The two new members of the city are arrested when Dylan is found to have internal Vinjix hardware, but with Vinjix growing stronger, who can the Rangers choose to activate Sirius Black? You know what? I like RPM. I like RPM. I'm going to say two episodes and I like RPM again.
Yeah.
It's just, they do, it's wild the things they do in these first two episodes.
Yeah.
Well,
and it, again, it shows because Eddie Guzillion, whenever he, like, started writing the show, he wanted to, like, subvert a lot of the tropes and, like, he wanted to kind of redefine Power Rangers in general.
Yeah.
So
we get an entire prison fight in this episode.
No, it's crazy. It's funny because on the Ranger Wiki, notes, like, it mentions for the episode, this is the first depiction of a prison in Power Rangers. And it's, and they're actually right, because as far as I remember, like, in terms of, like, a human prison, yeah.
Okay, yes, yes, yes. Okay, I was gonna be like, we didn't see any kind of prison in SVD, and I'm like, we definitely saw a character in a prison of sorts, but I guess a human prison makes more sense.
Yeah, yes. Like, a typical, like, what we know of. Watching this episode back, like, it reminds me of just how much I adore the, cast of RPM. Like, even right now, like, everything that cast has been doing is, like, they just go from the very beginning. I think, you know, Dan as Dylan, he chews the scenery in this episode. Like, you can...
Yeah.
You can tell he's, like, taking a look at this, the absurdity of this, and having fun with it.
I mean, also, Ziggy's...
life actor, story.
Just how...
Milo, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the, like, the oscillating of, like, he's my friend, I'm gonna stick by him. Oh, he has Vintage Hardware. I don't even know this dude. I've never met him before. So funny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
And, like, for all of the talk about how, RPM is serious and it's got a lot of things, it does take, like, its world seriously, but this is still Power Rangers and it's still kind of silly and ridiculous, and I kind of love that it oscillates between the two.
Yeah, like, really well. Like, we get, like, a prison fight scene. It's not over Jell-O, but it's over Jell-O.
Yes.
And, like, and
that fight scene is really fun and really cool.
Yeah.
Being said, there should be Jell-O everywhere. There's no way that Jell-O stayed on that tray.
Well,
everything
so
that Dylan is doing in that scene.
Someone pointed out, I looked in some, like, errors of the episode, and, like, apparently they took something, like, red and, like, solid, and they glued it to the tray. So that way it looks like the Jell-O, but someone mentioned that, like, he should have, like, lost more Jell-O, but, yeah, no, this ain't the Spider-Man lunchroom scene. But, I think it's interesting because it does does what it needs to do to start doing the world building. And, like, it's interesting, like, seeing some of the, like, hints that we get. So, spoiler warning for those of you that haven't watched RPM, but in the original notes for Eddie, like, his original plan was for the series finale to reveal that Dylan was a sleeper agent, that he was never real. And as I was watching this episode, like, I watched for hints of that, and there are actually some hints of that already. Original vision, at least. So that I thought that was interesting because, like, they make some, like, drops of, like, oh, he has Generation 7 hardware, and then Vengix is like, oh, here's Tenaya 7. Like, it's fun to kind of see, like, that alternate reality of, like, what could have been. And we know that in the end it's going to change, but I think it does a really good job of doing the world building. I think the use of the Sentai footage is actually really well done.
Yes.
And,
like, that opening Zord fight where, like, Dylan and Ziggy are watching, the way they cut between, like, American footage and Japanese footage is really well done.
Yeah.
Also, if you ever want to look at instances of how changing the music over a scene alters how it feels, I think you could take the Go Under episode and this one and put them side by side and be like, wow, music truly changes how something sounds.
Yeah, it does.
Like, the fight scene with the Megazord, which is... the RPM Megazord is ridiculous. We know this. The show knows this. But, like, the way they play the music as it, like, combines and as, like, it's fighting, it's so, like, epic sounding and kind of wild. And, like, you know, the way, like, the when the enlargement machine is working in the Vengix Castle,
mm-hmm.
you know, it has, like, this creepy kind of music laid over it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And I really love all that.
Yeah, it's really well done. And overall, it really creates this, like, lovely... I think that's one of the reasons why I like RPM. Like, one of the things that I know that fans kind of go back and forth about over the years has been, you know, the use of Sentai and like how much do you stick to the Sentai, what do you change, what do you adapt. Like, I think when Power Rangers is at its best, and we've talked about this with Cosmic Fury, we've talked about this with Dino Fury, we talked about this a little bit with Beast Morphers, it's Power Rangers is at its best when it's trying to take what is there and work around it instead of integrate it. Like, and I think RPM is a really good example of taking, you know, we look at like Turbo, for example, right? Like when we had, you know, Car Ranger and Goalanger, they're vehicle-based seasons. They're very goofy in nature. They have very silly designs. And when it came to Turbo Time, it was, you know, they tried to make it all melodramatic and serious. And they really tried to like adapt it and change it for what it's worth. But they kind of like tried to throw away the goofy factors some.
Well, what I think it is RPM takes its world seriously.
Yeah.
Turbo did not.
It did not.
Turbo does not.
Yeah. And I think
Yeah, Turbo thinks this is dumb and is doing it because it's what we do. I think RPM is like, no, this is all life or death and this is serious, no matter how ridiculous it is. No matter the fact that you're driving in a bear car with eyes, you know, this is serious.
Yeah. I agree. And yeah, I think that like RPM is a good example of like how you can take a very goofy concept and if you just tweak it a little bit and work with it and make this world and work within your restrictions you create, like it, because you know we see that argument, like I like infamously Jonathan Zacher, who was the executive producer during multiple seasons, you know, he was the one responsible for us getting like Samurai and like getting Megaforce and Super Megaforce and them being so closely adapted from the Sentai. Like his belief was you can just take the Sentai and adapt it, but you can't. I think whenever you take the time to build this world and really work around it, it's so interesting and it makes for a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely agree. And there's a lot going on in this episode because we've got, you know, the Dylan and Ziggy getting arrested, getting interrogated.
Yeah.
We've got the Rangers on the side having a conversation about the fact that they need an additional Ranger because the Vindix bots are getting stronger and they need to activate Sirius Black. And there's really great stuff with that that I'd love to get into. And then we have everything with the Vindix Palace, which is not, it's tangentially connected, but the Vindix Palace is its own thing going on.
Yeah.
And I just want to take a moment. I love the Vindix Palace. I know that's Sentai footage, but that is such a good design, and it's so fun how they use it here. I also love the design inside with Vindix in the middle and the Grinders flanking him. That is very like reminiscent of Zed's Palace in a way. That's really fun and cool.
Well, and again, Eddie said when he was designing the show that like, he wanted Vindix to be like the anti-Zordon, and so like having this like tube in the center, like it creates this like perversion of the command center, which is why it works so well.
And it feels like a space.
Yeah.
Because, you know, then we get the stuff with, like, the, you know, he creates the different attack bots, and then we have the hand lower and pull it out.
Yeah.
It feels like a lived-in space, which is really cool.
Yeah, which...
It doesn't feel like a set we cut to. It feels like, no, these characters live here, and this is where they, you know, exist.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun, and it's really well done, and it's really, like... It's really fun to see them kind of work within that. So, and I think one of the things that this season does really well, like some Sentai seasons kind of touch on this, but like we have a this is like a power scaling war. Like, you know, this like Dr. K acknowledges like the Vindix hardware is going to get more advanced. It's going to get more powerful. And like, that's kind of like the crux of the conflict of the Rangers. This episode is like, we need someone else. And I think that's such a fun and interesting concept for Power Rangers, is like when the villains grow with the Rangers.
Yes. And it's a thing that like happens every season, but does not get, it's not always done well.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it'll be like, oh, they scaled up, but like the villains are still the same. They're still going to blow them up. And it's like, yes, but like you can do things story-wise that make that seem more, dire.
Yeah.
And I do really like the idea that like this is why we're going to get new swords, is because we have to keep scaling up, we keep having to have new things that can fight what's out there.
Well, and it also adds more tension, I think. Like I think that's what I really enjoy, is that it does add like a real sense of tension. Like it's because it's like, you know, typically like whenever they're facing off against a stronger monster, you feel that tension, but like this is like building it up, like it's a slow build towards that. Like RPM, I think, as a season does really well, because sometimes, like, you know, we always know like, look at Darkest Hour, right? Like, we know with Power Rangers Darkest Hour, Dark Spectre will be defeated, he'll get sealed away, probably in Malagor's body, who knows? we know at the end of the day that the Rangers are going to win. And with RPM, you kind of know that too. But like, I feel like RPM does a really good job of like making you question sometimes, like, okay, we know they're going to win, but are they going to win? Or like, how are they going to win? And I think that's what, as we keep talking about it and like what makes a good villain, I think Venjix definitely highlights that. And like, you see why he's such a good villain.
Another detail I really just want to call out is I really like the fact that in the initial Zord fight in this episode, the Rangers called themselves by their color because we have not been introduced to their names yet.
Yeah.
So, some are called Scott Red. They go, hey, yellow is in danger, blue is in danger, because we don't know those characters' names yet.
Right.
I really dug that, and I really thought that was fun. Also, the Go-Under Zords are so ridiculous. I love the Bear Crawler Zord Pac-Manning around, biting things. The fact that the Lion Hauler is just literally a bus and even has the little marquee on the front that has its number and where it's going is so funny to me. It's so good. That thank you, Go-Under, for all that. I like... One thing I really like with the Rangers in this episode is they disagree.
Yeah.
There is a whole argument, not argument, but discussion being had of like, well, you know, Summer's like, well, what about Dylan? And Flynn's like, no, absolutely not. Nope, not happening. I disagree with this. And Scott's like, look, Summer, if you want to make this call, you can, but it's on you if you make that. Essentially, it's what Scott says. He's like, I don't think it's a good idea, but I will take in your kind of belief.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I do love it. Also, we get the introduction of Tenaya Seven, who, look, we truly won in Power Rangers when we got Camille and Tenaya Seven back to back.
Yeah, we did.
We truly won.
We did.
We were feasting, as the kids say. We were eating good at this time.
That's mother.
Yes. Truly, truly a crime against the universe that we never got Camille and Tenaya Seven in a crossover episode, because I want to know what those two bad bitches would done if they were to face each other.
Yeah. Agreed.
How does a lizard tongue fight against a detachable hand? We'll never know.
Call that a slip of the tongue.
Uh-huh. But yeah, it just very, very... sad we never got that. I think there's like good lines. They like, I think the thing that I really like about like the Zord stuff is it's not overdubbed.
Yeah,
which boy, if we ever watch another Neo Saban, they love overdubbing everything. Everything's got to have a comment, every movement's got to have them saying something, whereas like there's like, it's very it's not as talky, I guess, is a thing I really like.
Yeah.
I know that'll change as we get later into the season, but it's nice that in this episode, at least, it's kind of down. I'm just trying to think. I mean, there's the meta lines that obviously like close this episode, and there's like the interaction between Summer and Dylan where he's like, yeah, one thing I know, yellow is definitely not your color. And it's like, come on.
Yeah. I mean the cast as a whole, they all have really good chemistry with each other. And like, they are in that echelon of like, legendary casts that we have. Yeah. Like, we've seen with, you know, like, they're always like up there with like the SPD cast, Dino Thunder, like Zio, like in terms of like having that chemistry and like being enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, definitely. And also just so much talent between that cast.
Yeah, for sure. And like the fact that they're continuing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait till we get Tenaya Seven out there fighting the Rangers, because like, I'm so excited. Because I know her arc, essentially, but I've never seen it, so I'm really excited to watch that. One last thing before we kind of head out. I love that Dr. K is referred to as a man, because they have her using a voice modulator. We've not actually seen Dr. K yet. She's just a screen so far. I really love that. So good. It's just so fun. Like, it's funny, I'm going to talk about another podcast on our podcast, which is not always great media, but I listened to Morphin Grid, and they're just getting through Jungle Fury, and like for the longest time, they talked about how they're worried about getting to RPM, because they're probably going to hate it, because most fans like it, and they won't like it, because the fans like it for a very specific reason. I am really hoping that they'll watch these first two episodes with open minds and really enjoy kind of what's being done from like a production side.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's obvious they're doing like different and cool things. I do think it gets a little, it does get away from them later on, obviously, because we get an entirely new showrunner about halfway through.
Yeah.
So, you know, that'll change, and I'm curious to like if we'll be able to chart where that change happens and kind of where the vibes are shift. I'm really excited to see, but I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah,
I really like this
for sure.
Good Power Rangers. Good Power Rangers is good Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But with that said, that'll wrap up our show for this week. Whew, we had a lot to cover.
We did.
We made it through. If you want to reach out to us, you can hit us up on social media on Twitter and Blue Sky at May the Power Pod.
Mm-hmm.
It's May the Power Pod on Twitter and May the Power Pod at BSKY.social on Blue Sky. If you want to send us an email, you can email us at maythepowerpod@gmail.com. Feel free to send us comments, suggestions, topic ideas, or let us know if you're interested in coming on as a guest host. We are actively seeking anyone who wants to come on and discuss episodes of RPM.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a particular episode you really like, let us know. We're happy to have you come on and chat with us.
Yeah.
If you want to find me, you can find me on most social media at ThespisPunk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
You can find me on most social media at BridgeMT, BridgeMT3, or 3000. They're around. You'll find it.
Yep. Keep an eye out on his social media for his Twitch streams. And definitely join him and watch him have some fun playing different games.
Yeah, I should be back shortly. I need to figure that out. So I took a little bit of a break from that because of travel. But
yeah. Get back into it and have some fun.
Yeah.
And play games.
Yeah.
but before we head out, like we do, we want to say thank you guys for listening to us. Really appreciate it. Hope you enjoy our discussion we've been having as we go through all this. But with that said, as always,
may the power protect you.